That's one of the few verses I know the first, second, third, and fourth verses on. I'm doing good. Thank you, brother. Well, tonight, before we begin, Lori, would you like for us to pray that John makes it home? Okay, I'm just checking. I don't know what condition he left under. But we need to pray for John as he's traveling back from Madagascar. And then pray for our son Keith as he's going to India. So I didn't think he lost anything there either. But I'm not that big on curry, but I want him to have a safe trip anyway. So let's have a word of prayer for them. Father, we thank you for not only these two, but all of our people that are traveling on the highways and by plane and train, whatever it might be. And Father, we pray that you've got your hand upon them. And Father, just bring them back safely to us, and we'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Can a Christian be demon-possessed? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. And then as you have found that, you'll stand in honor of the Lord and His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. 1 John 4:4, as it's already been mentioned tonight, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, keep in mind, tonight we're speaking to believers in Christ Jesus. And if there are those outside of Christ who have not been saved, then this is for you also, because it's a very frightening type thing that we're talking about. In the last few years, it seems like people have been fascinated. Americans have, even American Christians have, with Satan, demons or demonic activity, zombies. I mean, I couldn't believe people say my favorite show is Walking Dead. Boy, I thought, you need to get a life. You know, ghosts, all of these have become a fascination. Now, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You know, and if you don't believe so, just talk about having knee surgery. And in this church, I've already got 47 different suggestions for me. But anyway, everybody's got an opinion about demons and about the supernatural in this, and it runs from one end of the spectrum to the other. There are those people that see a demon behind every bush, and if you have an allergy, it's the demon, and you know, you've got to get rid of that thing. And then on the other, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. I think J.K. about the preacher, the young man that came to a church, and they asked him if he believed in a literal devil and actual demons. And he said, no, I don't. And the search committee said, I don't think we can call him. And This wise old man said, let's go ahead and call him. He won't be in this church a week before he'll know that there's literal devil and demon. So the opinions vary from one extreme to the other, to what demons can do and what they cannot do. We talked about the scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So to be able to apply all these scriptures, to be able to have this shield of protection around you, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Because Satan can't stand where Jesus stands. Satan can't live where Jesus lives. And so that's the most important thing. I had a young man call me one time, and he had done some work for me around the place, and he called me up, and he was really frightened. It was at night. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I've heard about demons, and I've heard about this and that, but there is some evil presence in my house. And it seems like it's, and I'm not trying to get sensual here, but he seems like it's following me from room to room and this and that. Do you believe that there are literal demons? I said, I most certainly do. And I said, but a demon, Satan, can't stand where Jesus stands. And that night he prayed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he didn't have any worry about the demons jumping on him. Well, I've had several experiences with that. Brother Neil and I were talking today. He's had several. The one that upset me the most, I think, was I was preaching at the San Antonio Rescue Mission, and I had a friend of mine that was in sales with Kraft Foods, but the guy could squeeze the ivory like you've never heard. I mean, he could play that piano. And he was with me at the San Antonio Rescue Mission. He was playing the piano, and I was preaching to the men on the street that had showed up. And so this was a few years ago, before cell phones, and we got to talking about the Lord, and I stopped in front of his house, and we talked about the Lord's return, and all of a sudden I looked down at my watch, and it was almost 12 o'clock. I said, oh, man, Joni's going to beat me where the kids won't recognize me, and fear broke out in my heart, and so I said, I got to go. Got my Pinto station wagon, four-speed on the floor, and I was heading around 1604, and at Interstate 10, a woman jumped out in front of my car right under I-10, hands out like this, and said, help me, help me. I didn't know if she'd been in a car wreck. I didn't know if somebody had molested her, dropped her off, whatever it might be. So a Pinto is not very wide. But I rolled down the window on this side, and I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor. Can I help you? I didn't want her to think anything else. And the next thing I knew, she got in the car. Yeah. She came in this door, and I went out. No. But I said, ma'am, I'm a pastor. Can I help you? And this voice said, who cares? Who cares? Like that. I was not that benevolent, but I was going to leave the car with her. I started telling her everything I knew about Jesus and some things I thought about. Pleaded the blood of Christ. It was the first time I'd ever had an encounter like that. And when I talked about Jesus, she calmed down. And so I'm driving, what am I going to do? And So I'm driving with this hand on there and this hand on the door handle, you know. And I'm driving to a truck stop on 1518. And what am I going to do? And I said, I've got to stop here at this station and everything. You sit right here. So I went inside and I told the lady, I said, there's a lady here that's mentally imbalanced. Would you call the sheriff? And if I'd have told her what I thought, she'd have locked me in the meat cooler until they got there. I called Joan. I said, Joan, you're not going to believe this and everything. It's 12:30 at night, you know, and everything, and I'm supposed to be a preaching. And I said, I picked up this woman. I think she's demon-possessed. She said, you know what my problem is? I believe you. She said, if it'll happen to anybody, it'll happen to you. So I said, Joan, I got to let you go. She's coming in. And she came in. I said, why don't you sit here and I'll get you a cup of coffee. And I said, what is your name? And she said, the person said, Bactine. And I said, no, your name, Pepto-Bismol. And I said, no, your name. And this other sound came, and I started talking about Christ, dealing with him, calm down again. And then the voice came and said, I didn't mean to kill him. I didn't mean to kill him. And I thought, Waitress. Anyway, the two sheriffs patrol come in, and I love law enforcement officers. But these guys said, one of them recognized me, said, hello, Brother Butch, and everything. He said, could you get her outside? I want to say, there's two of you. Y'all, somebody pissed. I mean, I've read about police brutality. Pistol whip her. Do something. But... So I said, I said, come on, let's go outside. They're not going to hurt. The whining started and this and that. Anyway, they took her off. But come to find out, I think it was her father, don't quote me on this part here, that was either an executive or vice president or something for Miles Laboratory, hence Bactine and Pepto-Bismol and so on and so forth. Now, we'll talk about it in a minute, but Satan uses different things to enter into an unbeliever. Okay, one of those things is drugs, and our young, and I'm just dealing with one right now, but a lot of our young people think they can flirt with it and play with it. Let me just tell you something, they're given an entryway to Satan himself and all of his demons. Now, whether she was under the influences of drugs or not, but I've been around people on drugs and they don't talk like that. Let me just tell you, Neil will tell you the same thing, and there are certain characteristics. But that was a harrowing, I think that's a word, there's another word for that, but flat scared was another one. But now I've claimed the scripture. I've read the scripture before, but now I can claim the scripture. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you, is what the scripture says. So Christians, I don't use the term respect, but they need to acknowledge the power of Satan and his demons. And not do like some televangelists say, well, I'm just going to kick the devil out of here and this and that. When Michael the archangel doesn't rail against Satan, but says, the Lord rebuke thee, then don't you think that you got it all under control? Well, they gain entrance in a variety of ways. A lot of things that people think are harmless, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, internet pornography, drugs, like we've talked about. That too. I can't even read my own notes here. I wish Debbie or Michelle was here to interpret this. But Satan cannot occupy what Jesus does, not the space. Now, Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew 12, 43. Matthew 12, 43. Jesus is talking and he says, when the unclean spirit, that's another term for demons, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Now, this is what's so dangerous about people wanting reformation without transformation. In other words, just getting people to reform, just trying to get them to become better people. And even if they rid themselves of that lifestyle, that evil spirit, that demonic influence, if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ back to fill up that vacuum, that space, then the end time is seven times as worse than it was to begin with. You cannot have reformation without transformation and expecting it to keep you from the evil one. Well, over and over we read of demons or unclean spirits in Scripture. And basically there's two types of demonic influence. There is demon possession. And that is basically, I mean, we saw the demoniac at Gadara. What is your name? Legion. In other words, had more than one demon. And so demon possession is not limited to one. You know, it can be many in there. Demons want to inhabit a body. It can be a human body. Or it can, it can be an animal body. I think I had a cat one time that, a horse. Joan thinks I had a cow that was demon-possessed. But we can laugh and joke about that. But demons desire a body. I mean, they even, when Jesus was dealing with the demoniac, they said, cast us into that herd of swine. I mean, anything, just give us a body. Well, so that's demonic possession. But there is also, that's for the lost, somebody that's not a born-again believer, not saved. But there is also demonic oppression. Oppression that Satan can oppress a person in this manner. Cannot possess, but can certainly oppress. And so we need to acknowledge that. We need to be aware of that. We need to claim the Scriptures that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In so many biblical accounts, but one in Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, it says, As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. A dumb demon. I've known some of them. no, that's not supposed to be in there. I don't know who put that in there. But they influence and they affect people in different ways. They torment them in different ways. Mark 5, we were talking about verse 1 through 20. That's the demoniac legion. You know the story. And I don't want to add something to the story, but I want to explain something about that. If you're going north on the Sea of Galilee, how many have been to Israel, been on the Sea of Galilee? Okay, so I want to make this truthful then because there's people here. But you're going north on the Sea of Galilee. Let's say that's 12 o'clock. Let's say that the cliffs of Gadara are at 3 o'clock. And we know they're the cliffs of Gadara because they're the only cliffs there on the Sea of Galilee. Now, as I read the scripture, I see that all of the accounts of demonic activity took place between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Now, my feeling is, out of the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Gad did not cross over Jordan, did not go into the promised land. And so when they were not obedient to the Lord, they opened themselves up to the devil and the demons. So, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, causes us to realize that while the Lord is omnipresent, he can be anywhere, all places, at all times, the devil is not. And hence the demons, different places. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there are places in the world, in the state, in this county, that are more heavily infested with demonic activity than others. I think there are those places. And it's something that we need to be aware of. In Luke 22, we see that Satan entered Judas. He left the door open. You know, now he was numbered with the 12. He had somewhat of a profession, but not a possession. Didn't know the Lord. But he left the door open. And what was his door? Greed. 30 pieces of silver, right? I mean, he left that door open and let his greed for money consume him and left that door open. Luke, the 4th chapter. Wait for me while I get there. Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 33. It says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So what is a demon? A demon is a spiritual being without physical form. Now, there are instances to where a demon will inhabit, use the body that they have possessed to commit horrendous crimes. Okay? Angels, fallen angels, and angels are not sexual beings. But there are a lot of attacks, brutal attacks done that have to be demonic. They have to be influenced demonic. I'm not going to get graphic, but I know Roger remembers there was a trial going on, and this man had this brutal attack on a retarded woman. And I'm not going to go into it, but it still haunts me, the depths that this depraved individual did, that there's no other explanation for it than demonic possession and so on and so forth. Well, our pianist at that time was chosen as chairperson for the jury. The arresting officer was a member of the church, a lieutenant. And I'm trying to think, there was some other significant deal there, a small church out in the country. And I had a real soul winner in church that said, "Brother Butch, I've been after this man for years to come to church, to turn his life over to the Lord, and he's never come, but he's going to be here this morning." And I said, "Man, that Alvin, that's great." He said, "Well, I think the reason he's coming is his son was sentenced, got the death penalty for a crime." Now, the lady who was the chairperson, they were talking about how many years to give him or this and that. And she said to the jury that was sequestered, she said, "What would it take for somebody to get the death penalty? What would somebody have to do to your mother, your wife, your sister? To what degree would some crime have to be committed before you thought they'd be worthy? What is worse than this?" And she swayed the jury. Or at least they thought through it, if you want to, and they gave him the death penalty. Now, here's this guy. He's coming to church. What's he coming for? Shoot the lieutenant? Shoot the lady at the jury? Because he had sat there in the trial day after day after day, you know. And so I asked Roger, and they got, I said, "The guy's welcome here and it needs the Lord." But we had a ring of San Antonio police officers around him that if he would have hiccuped, he'd have gone down. But the crime itself was so horrendous that it had to be demonic. And in this case, a demon, I think, used the body to commit the act. And I think we see that in some of the crimes that we see. Well, what is a demon? We believe the demons to be fallen angels that followed Lucifer in that heavenly rebellion. And strong beings who can possess humans or even animals. They try to dominate people's lives by seeking their submission and devotion. What are some of the characteristics of demon possession? Well, the Gadarene is a good example in Mark 5, 1 through 20. It reveals some of the following characteristics. Demons seem to prefer an environment of death and decay. This legion was in the tombs. Now I want to. Something just dawned on me. You know, if I knew that there was demons or a demon or in this tomb, where do you think I'm going to be? Far, far away. Now, the people of Gadara, they've become accustomed to it. He screamed hideous screams at night. They put chains on him, and he snapped the chains. They bound him with ropes, and he popped the ropes. And they said, well, you know, the old demoniac that's over there, you know when it really bothered him? When Jesus cast the demons out of him and put them in the herds of swine, then they got upset. Because their livelihood, their income, their status quo was shaken. They have unusual strength, as I said. They destroy people's ability to reason, making them resistant to persuasion. We use a term, and I don't mean to... people who under the influence of any type of sin need our prayers. Okay, this is not, and I don't know any other way to say it, but we refer to somebody that's drug influenced as a fry brain. I mean, that's what they say, a fry brain. And their ability to connect, to make thoughts, they destroy certain things. And I've been around them, and I've talked to people who have blown their mind because of drugs. And you can say, where are you going tonight, and what are you going to eat? Now, if you say, where are you going tonight, they can tell you. But if you say, where are you going tonight, what are you going to eat, something goes and fries, doesn't make a connection, because they've destroyed certain parts of their brain. Well, I don't want to get too much in that because y'all will think I'm on something, but they cause sadistic and masochistic behavior. They drive a person towards isolation. They recognize the identity and the authority of Jesus Christ. They know they deserve judgment and torment. They say, just not at this time. They have names like Legion. Multiple demons can possess the same body. They seem to have a disposition to remain in a specific geographical area. And that's what I was talking about earlier. They would rather indwell even an animal than to be disembodied. Just a spirit without some kind of body. They can hinder a person's physical senses, hearing, speech, and so on and so forth. They can cause seizures, is what the scripture says. They can indwell even children. They cause suicidal behavior. They vigorously resist giving up control. And their expulsion requires divine power. Prayer and fasting is what Jesus said. So how does possession take place? Well, we said Judas opened his heart to evil through his greed. That's what John 12:6 says. Rebellion is a real door. You know, we kind of laugh at rebellion and so on and so forth. It's not funny with God, you know. And people put off, they rebel against God. They don't need God. They don't any of this. They're opening themselves up. Amen. Well, it's so important for people to fill that empty house and the vessel with Christ. Amen. To have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And anybody who's been around it, had to deal with it, knows that they cannot stand against Jesus. They cannot stand against the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't have to, if you're a born-again believer, you don't have to run around looking behind every bush, fearful for your life, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But if you're confronted with one, you plead the blood of Jesus, and only in Jesus' name can they be expelled. I visited, I'm not saying that all mental illness is a result of demon possession, but I'm saying that there are instances of mental illness that is a result of demon possession. I was asked, since I've been here, to go to the state hospital to talk to somebody. And they said, the preacher is coming to see you. And when I got there, there was this maniacal laugh and everything. They would not come out of the room to talk to me about Jesus. And I don't know what to tell you, except that it's so important that we witness and that we win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the world in which we live, Satan has his hand on so much. So much. And I've been in places in the world to where you cannot believe. And a lot of things I don't want to talk about, I'm not going to talk about, but you will never, ever, ever, ever convince me that there's not a real devil and that they're not real demons. To guard your heart, to protect yourself, you need to know that you know that you know the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Know that you know that you know that you're saved. And if you're not, would you be so, do so tonight. Bow the knees of your heart. Agree with God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, I can't protect myself. And I need you. And if God speaks to your heart, you come. We'll pray with you, for you, whatever it takes, and identify with him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. Lord, not a pleasant topic at all. And Father, not one that we get sensual about, that we that it's kind of a something that we're going to take lightly. But Father, help us to be as serious as the Word of God. And Father, if Satan ever comes in our midst, we want to rebuke him in Jesus' name. And Father, we know that you can cast him out. And rather than answer the door to him, we answer it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for every individual here today. Give them wisdom and strength, and we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name.